To start recording now, because I'm going to then hand over to Angela. Did you see? Yep, so that's recording. The little red buttons are going in the corner. So I'm going to hand over to Angela, who's going to kind of give us a bit of an update on the Cheshire Mines Matter grant scheme. And then it's a free-for-all in free-for-all in terms of you asking Angela everything you need to, all the questions that you want, and we can make sure that you've got all the information if you are thinking about putting that bid in. And I'm sure Angela might take other questions about CCF if required. So I'm going to hand over to you, Angela.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone's okay. It's lovely to see so many people on this afternoon for this update. So thanks for joining. So Cheshire Mines Matter. This is our latest grants programme, and it's designed to be quite a responsive, flexible grants programme to increase the capacity of charitable organisations who are supporting the mental health and well-being of vulnerable people who have been affected by COVID-19. And it's really all about encouraging innovation, improving your ability to adapt and thrive, with the overall aim of improving mental health and well-being outcomes for disadvantaged or vulnerable people in Cheshire and Warrington. Now, the amount of money that you might have seen in the programme criteria document on our website was £250,000 available. That's actually jumped up to £350,000 now through some further generous donations that have been received. And we've also had some indication that some of our donors, whilst they don't want to actually just put some money into a general pot, might be interested in funding specific projects that come through that particularly have a fit with their fund. So it could be beyond 350. So at the moment I'm saying £350,000 programme. It's primarily aimed at medium-sized organisations, 100k to £1 million, but that's not to say that we wouldn't have a look at something lower or higher than that, but that is our primary sort of focus, but we're not going to be sort of completely prescriptive on that. And as I said, it takes into consideration the challenges that have been faced by charitable organisations delivering mental health and wellbeing services. In terms of the programme parameters, we're looking for partnerships and collaborations is strongly encouraged, but you can apply as a sole organisation in your own right. But we do sort of recognise that collaboration is a sort of key feature of the voluntary sector, and that potentially we could have some really strong partnership projects that come through this programme. It's a grants plus model, so initially we'll be looking for expressions of interest, and you'll find the expression of interest form on our website. And then if we take your application through to the full assessment stage, those organisations going on to full assessment will be invited to join some themed or geographically focused webinars, which will offer support and advice and guidance, perhaps even to sort of fine-tune the initial ideas that have been expressed in the expressions of interest. And it may even be that you might sort of find partnership opportunities through attending those workshops. So the exact nature of those workshops will be determined by the organisations that go through to the full assessment stage. And we have put in the expression of interest, you know, if there's particular themes that you think your organisation would benefit from as part of that sort of grants plus model, then do put them down in your expression of interest, and we will take that into consideration when building the workshops. So in terms of what the grants will fund, I mean, traditionally we've always funded projects which have a finite start and end. This is slightly different in that we will fund organisational capacity building and development costs to help you potentially adapt or improve services. We might help you to take forward an idea that you've got which you think will actually improve your service delivery and to sort of get it through a trial stage. We might help you to find some expert advice or consultancy to perhaps sort of shape or reorganize your services so that you can actually deliver things perhaps in a more efficient or better way. And also we can do some support for some of the more longer term permanent adaptations that you might need to do in the sort of new world that you're operating in. If you're coming in for sort of capital costs, then we would say no more than 50% of the cost that you're applying for could be capital, because we are looking for something in terms of sort of significant improvement to service delivery. So the types of organisations that we might like to sort of see coming through this programme is quite broad. So it's mental health and wellbeing in the sort of broadest sense. So it could include counselling, bereavement, trauma support, absolutely. But we also recognise that there are a wide range of organisations who have a very positive impact on people's overall mental health and wellbeing. So that could include debt advice, financial advice. It could be support to people affected by domestic violence and abuse. It could be support to people who have recently been made unemployed and need sort of support to sort of rebuild their confidence to find new employment. And it could be that you're an organisation that's particularly working with communities in an area of high deprivation, and providing sort of mental health and wellbeing services at a very local sort of community level. And we also recognise that there are a lot of organisations supporting the sort of health and wellbeing of young people, which is a sort of strong priority. In terms of geographical priorities, there are the sort of deprived areas in Cheshire and Warrington where we would absolutely welcome applications which are sort of targeting those communities. So in Warrington, the Central Six wards in Warrington. In Cheshire East, you've got Central Crewe and maybe the deprived wards within Macclesfield and Congleton. And in Cheshire West and Chester, the Laish and Blaken estates, Kingsway, Ellesmere Port and Winsford. And also we recognise that rurally isolated communities in Cheshire and Warrington may also be in need of support for mental health and wellbeing. So again, it is quite broad. So in terms of the size of grants, the minimum grant that an organisation could apply for is £5,000. The maximum for an organisation applying solely as an independent organisation would be £15,000, and the maximum for a partnership would be £50,000. Now, when we say partnerships, all of the organisations would need to be eligible charitable organisations, and they'd need to be an organisation that would be willing to act as the lead in the application, who would ultimately be awarded the grant and would be responsible for distributing that grant within the partnership and accountable for the overall management and reporting of that grant. In terms of who can apply, it's our normal sort of eligibility criteria. CICs would be eligible. We would want to see organisations that have been at least delivering services for 12 months with this programme. Annual income, 1 million or under, primarily. And in terms of the outcomes for the programme, we're obviously everything that you are wanting to sort of do with your funding application has to have the overall aim of improving mental health and wellbeing for disadvantaged people in Cheshire and Warrington. So it could be things like reducing stigma and discrimination associated with mental health, having access to increased coping strategies, increased support or accessibility of services for hard to reach people, people feeling more empowered to seek support for mental health, and increased opportunities for people to seek help at an early intervention stage. But we'd also like to see some organisational outcomes for the organisations applying. So we would like to see you being able to achieve one or more of the sort of following outcomes. So increased capacity within your organisation to improve support for people with mental health at an early intervention stage, increased sustainability of your organisation, and perhaps improved and adapted services which take into consideration new ways of working. The normal rules will apply for ineligible organisations. So of course, no organisations generating private profit. We couldn't fund statutory organisations, which includes schools, universities and hospitals. For national organisations, we would consider your application if you have a local office with a separate committee, bank account and governing document, and that you can sort of show that your services are needed in the local area. We can't fund costs that have already been committed to, we can't fund retrospectively, and we're not going to be looking to fund major refurbishments or capital projects under this programme. And if there is IT related costs, as I said before, then the maximum you could apply for would be 50% of the total project costs that you're bidding for. In terms of when to apply, obviously Caroline's just said it's open now. It is a simple expression of interest form at this stage until the 30th of July. And we're going to be reviewing those expressions of interest on a rolling basis. So we might come back to you quite quickly once we've got it, if we have any questions or queries to clarify. And then in the early August, we will then come back to you in terms of whether your expression of interest is progressing to the next stage or not. And by mid-August, we'll be inviting organisations to take part in workshops and webinars. So the deadline after those workshops would be the end of August, 31st of August, to submit the full applications, and then we would begin to assess those. So that by mid-September, we will have clarified all aspects of the applications, and by the end of September, early October, we should be able to let the successful grantees know that they've had their awards, they're successful. One thing that when we did our consultation on this programme was that a lot of the charities that we contacted said, you know, please, could we have some flexibility with regard to drawdown if we were successful, so that you don't have to start within 4 weeks of the award being made and there isn't necessarily a maximum sort of 12-month end date. So we have listened to that, and we will allow under this programme a much wider, more flexible go live date after your grant has been awarded. So that if the demand that you've anticipated for your services doesn't happen straight away, you can sort of look to sort of incorporate the grant as and when it's needed, but equally that the money is going to be there and in place if you see an immediate sort of spike in demand or need for your services straight away. So it is going to be a bit more flexible in terms of drawdown. And I think that is really it. We are allowing a proportion of overheads within the application as well. And what we've said is that you can put organisational overheads in on a fair and reasonable basis. So not really a straightforward percentage figure, you know, across all projects. We're looking for something a little bit more calculated so that you can actually demonstrate that those organisational overheads, the project is fairly and proportionately contributing to your overall organisational overheads. And there is a little Excel tool which we've attached to the criteria document, which you might want to use, but you might equally have something already within your organisation that helps you to sort of calculate the proportion of overheads that you could include within your application. So I think that is really the sort of summary of the programme. I'd like to say thank you to any of the organisations on here today who contributed to the consultation, and open it up to questions. I can see a few questions in the chat box. Let me just go back to the top. Yeah, the first question from Dale with regard to the income. It is the lead bidder who is the income that we will be assessing. So we'll be looking at your accounts and your sort of robustness as the lead organisation within the partnership, because you would be the organisation that we would pay the grant to. Can everyone see the questions, or do you want me to repeat the questions? That repeat. So Dale asked, in terms of income, is it the income of the lead bidder for the partnership's work that is considered for partnership applications? So that's the first question. The next one from Claire is, can you give an example of the types of support the follow-up webinars might offer? So yes, this very much depends on the types of organisations going through to the full assessment stage. So if we get lots of organisations saying we could do with some support to help us sort of diversify our income streams whilst continuing to sort of deliver our services, we might want to sort of put a webinar together for that. If there's lots of organisations saying, please can you help us with sort of business planning organizational restructure, again we can have a look at what those themes are that are coming through. So at this stage we didn't want to be prescriptive on those webinars until we could see what organizations are being taken through and what their needs are, so that it's actually very responsive and flexible towards the organizations that have been taken through. And hopefully they will gain from that, you know, whatever the outcome of the application. From Joanne, if an organisation already holds the CCF grant, can they still apply to this pot? Yes, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't disbar you. If you've got a COVID-19 grant in progress at the moment, that's absolutely fine. If you've got a grant through one of our other programmes that might be coming to an end, that's fine as well. The only thing we would ask is that we wouldn't want what you're putting into this application to overlap or duplicate anything that you've got already awarded under a different programme. So we are looking for something that's additional to what you've already been funded for. From Mary, we are a charity but do some therapy work in schools and hospitals. Would this kind of work be excluded because it's within a statutory context? No, that's fine, because that could be the most appropriate place for you to deliver your services. It would just be, in that instance, the statutory body, the school, the hospital, they couldn't be a formal partner who is actually sort of part of a partnership application, but they are the venues and the locations where your organisation is going to be delivering services. So each organisation that applies in a partnership needs to be a charitable organisation that's eligible under the criteria of the programme. Defaults, it says, if an organisation has two separate schemes, one in West Cheshire and the other in East Cheshire, would that be considered a partnership? I think if you're talking about it's one organisation delivering two separate schemes in two different areas, then the application would be from a sole organisation just delivering in two different geographies. And that can be the case for many applications that we receive, that it's not just one single geography. It could be pan-Cheshire, it could be pan-Cheshire and Warrington. I don't know if you're sort of thinking that if it's two organisations in two separate areas, they could come together as one, as a partnership bid, as long as both are eligible. Tracy, did you say it was aimed at medium-sized organisations with an income of 300k to 1 million? It was 100k to up to 1 million, and that's the lead organisation's annual income based on last year's accounts. So you don't need to combine your incomes, because it is the one lead organisation that we're assessing in terms of their ability to manage and deliver the project. Could friends of schools that are set up as charities apply, or multiple academy trusts that are registered charities? Friends of schools are generally set up for charitable purposes. I think with those types of organisations, quite often we find that they don't necessarily have the right safeguarding policies and procedures in place. Some do, some are very, very good. Others don't necessarily have everything that we would normally want to see as best practice for safeguarding and leading and delivering a project. So any friends of school, perhaps maybe worth talking to us about the project and their capacity to deliver it. Multiple academy trusts that are registered charities, potentially. I think, again, they would need to get in contact with us and talk to us about their project. But if they're charitable, then they are actually eligible. I think I've got down to the bottom, but does anybody want to unmute and ask any questions?
Before someone else jumps in, I just wanted to clarify in terms of the, because I think this is the, there's a couple of questions around the income. So just to be clear, the lead bidder has to have between 100,000 and 1 million, but for example, they could partner with a project who has below that and a partner who has above that. Yes,
that's right. Because the organisation that we're assessing is the lead organisation.
Super. Was someone else going to come in then?
Hi Angela. Hi. If you are successful, how often would you expect the monitoring on the project?
We may not want a formal report, but we may touch base with you during the course of the delivery of the project, which I said could be 12 months, it could be a little bit more flexible than that. But there would just be one formal end of grant monitoring return at the end of the project.
Lovely, thank you.
Quite often we, if there's multiple donors involved in a programme, we would like to ideally give them an update as to where their investment was going and how well it's progressing.
Thank you.
Do we have any more questions? Anyone take this opportunity? Because it's not long till the expression of interest close date. Now, I know Angela is, available. So if you have questions after this, obviously feel free to contact Angela and to make sure you've got anything clarified. But I want to make sure if you've got any little mini question, there's no silly question.
There is a separate email address for this programme, just so that we can keep everything in one place, which is CheshireMindsMatter@CheshireCommunityFoundation.org.uk. But equally, you can pick up the phone as well.
Angela, did you say that ideally the money would be spent within 12 months, but there was some flex to extend that a little, or could it be extended considerably, maybe over a 2-year period or something?
I think we're flexible on that at the moment, because it's not a national pot of funding or a national funder where we have certain restrictions to abide by in terms of the end of grant monitoring under our contractual terms. This is one of our programs, so we can manage it, and we would look at each case really in terms of how long the project's going to be. But there is flexibility beyond 12 months.
Any further questions? Or So I suppose, I mean, from a CVS point of view, the kind of next bit for us is kind of supporting any organisations who might want to try and do something in partnership. You know, I'm hearing from Angela that actually that's something they would look to support and would welcome. Not to say you can't bid by yourself, but something you could look. And I'm conscious that, you know, we've got people on this call who have an income of greater than $1 million, and we have people on this call who have income of less than 100,000. So, you know, there's that kind of linkages together and between us, and depending if you're kind of based in Cheshire West, and Joanne and the CWVA team are also more than kind of happy to help. So I suppose it's whether there's, and it might be whether you want to put it in a chat directly to me or in the kind of general box, if you would kind of like a bit of follow-up, and we'll email people kind of after today as well in terms of linking to others to develop that expression of interest, really, especially if you fall outside of the financial kind of boundaries. Diane, did you want to come in?
It was only to say, and Angela's done a fantastic job here in talking about the whole fund. But I think one of the things you're talking about, kind of partnerships, to my mind, and I might be wrong here, Angela, but I think we were really, this whole fund is really very much about encouraging that collaboration, that strong partnership, and trying to enable charities to get even better at what they do by using individuals and organisations that have that expertise. I think that was right, wasn't it, Angela? She's there.
Yes, it is. We are actively encouraging that, because it is, you know, the challenges that organisations face going forward, and being able to sort of work productively together could be sort of highly beneficial, particularly with the anticipated spike in demand for mental health and wellbeing services. But we also sort of recognise that, you know, you shouldn't artificially pull together partnerships just because that's going to make the application more attractive to the funder. It should be people that you are comfortable in working with, that you've got some synergies, and that you feel that you can work well together, and that the partnerships will actually add value when you do come together as one. You know, we have seen in the past partnerships coming together for the sake of applying to a particular program, and it hasn't worked particularly well, because they're different organisations, different ways of running, different ways of working. So, you know, do sort of think about that before, you know, you're forming your partnerships.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions on this? I'm going to put Angela on the spot with another question. Just about the, because obviously the general fund is closed, the COVID fund is closed at the moment, and I understand why that is. Do you have an update on any date on when it might potentially reopen?
Yeah, so the first phase of funding was from the National Emergencies Trust. Fundraising across the country, and we've distributed £681,000 of National Emergency Trust funding. The second phase of funding that we're due to receive is from the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, and it's going to be sort of circa, I think it's £180,000 coming through to us. The delay has really been the sort of finalisation of the contract with DCMS in terms of the criteria and the changes to the criteria in relation to how the pandemic has moved on. So it's important that we actually clearly state what those changes are. So we're hoping our UKCF organisation is currently in discussions with DCMS to finalise that this week. So we're really hoping that the outcome of those discussions will enable us to reopen next week, mid to late next week. But I can't guarantee that right now as I sit before you, because I've not been party to the discussion yet and the outcome of those discussions.
Well, that's great though, if that's going to reopen again quite so soon. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so soon. So I think once that is, obviously we'll circulate that out and to everyone, make sure everyone's aware of when that kind of is reopening and what you can bid for and support you with that. We have had a question come in from Claire. Angela, is there any way you'll close the expression of interest round early, or do we definitely have until the 30th to submit?
I think we will not close it until the 30th of July. That will be our final date to be received. But as I said, we will be, those that come in early, we will be looking at those straight away, and we will be sort of talking to organisations if we need any points of clarification.
Thank you. So the kind of next steps around this, what we will do is recirculate, so everyone that's kind of registered for today, even if they haven't attended, we will kind of recirculate the information about the grant fund, the link for today, so you can kind of go back and look at it. And we'll also circulate, so Joanne shared her contact details, so we will share the Cheshire West. And I'm not sure if there's anyone from Warrington, I'm not sure if Warrington circulated it, but we'll share the Warrington Voluntary Action contact details as well. So depending on which CVS geography you're part of or a member of, then you know where you can go to in terms of asking for a bit of support, and that read-through service, you know, or even just kind of have a bit of a conversation about your project or your idea. Or if you are a smaller charity and are kind of thinking we really like to partner with someone else, we can help with that. I know it's a short time for the expression of interest, but part of you building your bid during August is around working together a little bit. You will kind of roughly know who you do and don't want to work with, I'm sure. I haven't got any other kind of key areas to kind of feedback to you on. So it's just do people have any, are there any other kind of maybe any non-community foundation issues or questions or anything else that you think I'd love to know, who, if anyone else is doing anything about this or that, in terms of anything to do with returning to your offices, or, I mean, that's, COVID takes over everything at the moment, doesn't it? But I just want to make sure if people are looking for a bit of support at the moment, we can share with that. So I was trying to fill space so that just to be aware that I can't see all of you. So if you are waving at me, I might not necessarily, I'm just flicking between screens. just to make sure, because there's slightly too many of you to fit on one screen. Having a look, can't see anyone waving at me. Is everyone generally okay and happy?
Caroline, can I ask something? Caroline,
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about the membership of this group, such as it is, the possibility of maybe some representation from Mac Town Council in the future.
Has Laura prepped you for this, Will? Go on, unmute yourself, Laura. You want to share? So this group, so just to kind of give people that this group itself formed a little bit around, well, we formed it around COVID. We've never stopped anyone who wanted to come and join the group, be part of the group. So through Town Council, for example, are on and on from the whole point. So if Maxfield Town Council would like to come and be part of it moving forward, absolutely not a problem from our side whatsoever. Do you want to?
So for those of you that know me as the Chief Officer of the Disability Information Bureau, I'm actually leaving at the end of the month to be the Town Clerk at Macclesfield Town Council. So today, Avril Goodyear is on, who's now going to be the new Chief Officer of Disability Information Bureau. And I would love to attend in the capacity for Mac Town Council. So yes, I will be attending. Thank you.
We are so welcome and congratulations, Avril, to the CEO club. And we as a sector are very sad to see you go, Laura, onto the other side, statutory people. But you know, we'll still all be ringing you. And now we'll all be ringing you to ask you for money. That's the...
That's okay.
So yeah, I mean, what I would say, at the moment, these sessions are every other week, and they've kind of replaced the CEO's network that I was running in the short interim period. But I think for me at the moment, I feel these sessions do have a life expectancy, and that we potentially will move back to a slightly kind of, I don't think we necessarily need to do every 2 weeks. Although I'm more than happy if people say we want to keep doing it every 2 weeks, I'm happy to keep facilitating bringing us together every couple of weeks. So I think we've got them until the end of August, and then we can kind of reassess where everyone is, because I think it comes down to whether people are planning to go back into the office, how people are planning to run. We're having conversations internally at the moment, well, I'm having thoughts, and some of those are turning into conversations, around how we can try and find a bit of best of both worlds moving forward. So how can we have a bit of face-to-face networking going on, as well as then opening up the option for people to attend via Zoom? Because I know a lot of you, and some of you might be the same, and in terms of what we're losing, these sessions, but what we sometimes is the relationship building kind of before and after the meeting, and the kind of little bits of chats and conversations that happen. And so how can we kind of build those in? So what I'd be keen for you to do is over the next kind of week or so is maybe think about how you might want to kind of keep networking, and we'll come out and we'll ask you about that. Because one of my thoughts was kind of, you know, towards the end of the meeting, we can create little breakout rooms. So actually, if you have been kind of hearing someone talk, or if we are wanting to kind of have a little bit of a chat after the meeting, which happens, doesn't it, have a chat after the meeting, we can create virtual breakout rooms, so you can still do that even virtually. So it's how do we, what is our new normal, and what does the kind of networking and our get together look like as part of that? So we're kind of having some thoughts, and we'll come out and speak to you, because obviously it's up to you. There's no point in us, we won't put something in place if you kind of won't engage with it. So any other questions, key points? I haven't got any other questions in the chat box. If not, I think that will be no point us kind of staying on. Hopefully you've kind of got something out of it, and you're all going to make applications, and I'll keep a track of who's attended today and how many people make an application, and we'll claim all of your outcomes from attending the session today.
Caroline, could I just say, if anybody's privately messaged me, just in case I lose, there's a few private messages on the Zoom, but do feel free to give me a call and have a chat about any other things that have been messaged privately.
Super. You can save your chat as well, but I'm not going to try and tell you how to do that now, because I can't remember. But okay, so I think that's us, unless anyone's got any other final questions or points. And we'll send everything round. So Robert's asked, Angela, can we have your number to do this, to contact you? What we'll do, I'll try and do it by the end of today. We'll send a bit of a follow-up email to everyone that's registered with all of Angela's contact details for this scheme on. And then you've all got the best way to get in touch, whether email or phone, and the kind of guidance documents again. If that's okay. Yep. Super. Right. Have a good rest of Thursday afternoon, everybody. And see you. Oh, just a reminder, in 2 weeks, counsellors are coming. If you want to attend, please do. Be really good. They're here to listen to you. And if you've got any questions in advance, then let me know. And then I'm sure that at some point in August, Laura will come and present on what Mactown Council's plans are and how we can engage with the sector. I think she's frozen because I can't see her moving on the screen. So thank you everyone, and we'll see you all soon. Bye. Kick everyone out.